AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation wherever you might be. And, well, depending on where you might be pretty cold out right now. I think it was about 12 degrees when I left my house, and I always tell people when I give the temperature in the wintertime that we live at the bottom of a hill, so we're in kind of a little valley, so it's always colder. In fact, I saw the thermometer on the car when we got to the top of the hill. We actually got up to 14 degrees, so it was like a heat wave going up the hill just that fast. And then as we came a little further up the highway, I think we reached 16 degrees at one point, I think was about it. So it's kind of chilly out there here in northeastern Ohio right now. And my wife was talking to some of her family earlier down in northern Kentucky, and her dad said, "Oh, it's about the same temperature down here right now. So it's cold down there too." And so I'm sure that wherever you might be, you're probably enjoying some of this nice chilly weather right now. I'm trying to think what day it was. I think it was last Friday, I believe they said that Syracuse, New York recorded the coldest temperature they ever recorded in the month of December. And so it's kind of like January weather right now. And it just seems like there for a while we were having mild weather, and now we're back to the freezing cold weather again. And this reminds me of the winters of my youth when the ice age was coming back in the late 1970s. I always tell people about that, and a lot of people don't believe they ever did that, but many of the same people who pushed global warming were the same people pushing the global cooling craze that the ice age was coming back in the 70s. If you Google it, you can see their articles, TV specials, and things like that. And the ice age didn't come, so they decided to go with global warming and all that. They change periodically. That's why they call it climate change. See. Anyway, I digress. Getting off, but it's chilly. It's icy in spots. We had rain that rained on top of a bunch of snow and turned it all to slush, and then it froze. So even though it's icy, the ground is rough because all the ruts and everything from all the slushes that froze last on Saturday night when the temperature switched over to freezing again, and it's just been cold all day. But it's not bad. The furnace works in the car, in the house, in the car, right? And the heater works in the car. So if you have enough sense to bundle up, you can stay nice and comfortable. Well, we're going to get to some couple of things here tonight. And you're listening, as I said, to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And you can give us a call this evening if you'd like to join in the conversation with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can call us 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. Let's open with a word of prayer here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray you bless the program, use us for your glory, help us point people to Christ and be an encouragement, a blessing to somebody tonight. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, as I said, if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions. And I also want to remind you that you can check us out on a line at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also go to Facebook and check us out on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al. and you can find that on Facebook. You can link there from our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, as well. And I was just going to mention, too, last week I was asking people to pray for us. I was trying to get my webpage updated, and I was having trouble because my computer decided to forget everything that I had done since 2010 on my files where I maintain for the website. And I had copied them and put them onto a flash drive to transfer to another computer, and the other computer couldn't find them. The flash drive didn't seem to have them. And lo and behold, finally this evening I was checking one more time, and my computer remembered that it had the files. So praise the Lord for that. Now I got to get busy and try and update the Facebook web page a little bit. Facebook's easier to update, and I'm able to put a few things on there from time to time. And so I'd like to link a few articles and things on there. But do thank you for praying, and found my missing files so that I can hopefully get my web page begin to update it a little bit, and hopefully things will go a little more smoothly in this coming week, and we'll go with that. Also want to mention that next week from tonight, is Christmas. Not Christmas Eve, it's Christmas Day night. How's that make? That makes sense, Christmas Day night, as opposed to Christmas Eve night, you know, or Christmas Eve day. But it's Christmas, and a week from today, 25th of December, and we will be live on the air Christmas Day. And I just wanted to mention that, and you can give us a call on Christmas Day. We will be here 11 o'clock until midnight, and we will also be here live on New Year's Eve Day, or New Year's Day, I'm sorry, start to do that again, on New Year's Day, the 1st of January. That's also on a Sunday this year. We'll be here live on the air both of those days. And again, a reminder that next week, on Christmas Day, we'll have our Christmas reading, the birth of Christ, as recorded in the Scriptures, and we'll be reading that on Sunday night, Christmas night, and we do that every year. And if you're interested in that, you can find it if you go to our webpage at livewithpastoral.com, and there's a link on the side where you can find the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures. You can find some links to where you can download a free e-copy of that. And that's another thing. I'm trying to get that printed out in some booklet forms because some people have wanted that in the past. And I just, as well as our booklet on the coming Arab-Israeli nuclear war. And I've had trouble trying to, ever since my computer, I don't know whether it's the upgrade to Windows 10 or my upgrade to my printer that I have right now, but it won't let me print out in the booklet format so that I can print out a hard copy of some of these things, because every once in a while somebody expresses an interest either between church or the radio program in getting a hard copy, and not having the money to print up a bunch. We've had the opportunity to print them in booklet form with the computer from time to time. So pray for me that I can get that figured out as well. Now that I found my missing files, maybe I can get that straightened out as well. But in the meanwhile, you can get a free e-copy of The Birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. And so I encourage you to do that. It makes a great Christmas reading for your own family or your church. We're going to use it at our church on Christmas morning. And that's another point. If you are in the area and you don't have anything going on Christmas morning, we'd like to invite you to visit our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We're midway between Akron and Cleveland. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road, and that's right where Interstate 80, which is the Ohio Turnpike, and Interstate 77 cross. I mean, we're literally right there. You can see the toll booths for the turnpike outside of the window of the conference room that we meet in. That's how close we are. And we will on Christmas morning during our 11 o'clock service. We will be doing a Christmas candlelight service, and we're just going to share some blessings from the past year, and we're going to sing some Christmas songs, and I'll be reading the birth of Christ according to the, as recorded in the scriptures, and there in the morning, and then we'll after we finish up, we'll have some fellowship time. Some people are bringing in Christmas cookies and things like that. And so if you're not doing anything and you'd like to come out and visit, we'd love to have you. And now if your home church has got something going on, that's where you need to be. But if you're not doing anything, we'd love to have you visit. So more information about that, of course, you can hear at the end of the program, or you can find out some more of these things going to our website, livewithpastoral.com, or our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. All right. Well, again, those phone numbers, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our phone number, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. You can give us a call tonight, and we'll take your calls and hopefully help you provide you with an answer there. I was going to mention a couple of things here. One thing I had started to talk about on our Friday afternoon program, and if you're in an area where you don't receive our Friday program, you can find it online as well. We do a Friday half-hour program every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and on our home station here, AM 1220, The Word, in Cleveland, Ohio, and that's our main station, and then, of course, our other main station is Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN, located in Tampa, Florida, and, of course, we appreciate all our listeners in both the Cleveland area, the Tampa area, and places in between. But wanted to mention an article that I found rather interesting. I had just mentioned it briefly at the end of our program last Friday, and I wanted to go back to it. It's been kind of interesting watching Donald Trump as he's been selecting cabinet members, and again, do pray for him, Vice President-elect Donald Trump, and President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect Mike Pence. Pray for the both of them as they form their cabinet choices and get everything together there. But this is something that's encouraging, and whether you voted for him or not, if you have a Judeo-Christian outlook, I guess I could put it that way, towards life and government and these sorts of things, this should be encouraging. They looking at the number of the people that he's picked for cabinet members, department heads, things of that nature, there's at least nine, I think, of them, or 10, I guess now, that identify themselves as Christians. Now, I'm not saying all of them are born again, and I'm not going to be naive and say that they're all born again Christians, but they identify themselves as Christians. So at least they're sharing, even if they're not born again, at least they're sharing more of a Judeo-Christian outlook rather than, say, an Islamic outlook, like many of President Obama's advisors and department heads and things do. For instance, John Brennan, the current head of the CIA, is a practicing Muslim. He was, I believe, the CIA station chief in Saudi Arabia and converted to Islam and became a Muslim. And then, of course, the Obama administration set him up as the head of the CIA, and there's quite a number of Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated individuals that have the ear of John Brennan and national security advisors and different things in the Obama administration. But and then, of course, in addition to that, there's the number of people that have the the secularist, humanist viewpoints and that are throughout the current administration. But here's a list right here. This is a list of some of the people that we're seeing come in. Of course, as we've said before, the persistent story is that Donald Trump himself made a profession of faith about a year or so ago, and I believe James Dobson is the one who says that Donald Trump prayed and trusted Christ as a Savior last winter. And so, okay, so that in that sense would be one, but in addition to that would be Vice President-elect Mike Pence, who is very outspoken and openly a born-again Christian, who has said, my Christian faith is at the heart of who I am. And I've heard him myself. I saw heard him speak down in Ashland, Ohio, during the campaign. And at many of his campaign stops, he was noted for saying, quote, I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican, in that order. And so that's another one that's right there. His selection as chief of staff, Rance Priebus, the former head of the Republican Party, National GOP, is by many accounts a Christian, or at least identifies as a Christian. And then, of course, Donald Trump's appointment or selection for Attorney General Jeff Sessions is a Sunday school teacher in his family's church. So I think that probably indicates that he identifies as a Christian there pretty well. And then, of course, his selection for Housing and Urban Development, Dr. Ben Carson, who openly talked about his Christianity during the campaign. His selection for the head of the Department of Education, Betsy DeVos, is also known as speaking out as a Christian. And then his selection of Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. And other than being the CEO of Exxon, is affiliated with the Congregational Christian Church, I believe, and he is known to donate $5,000-$10,000, something like that, to the National Association of Congregational Christian Churches. And again, when I say this, I'm not saying all these people are born-again Christians. I understand that, but they identify themselves as Christian rather than secularist, humanist, atheist, agnostic, Islamist, or something anti-Christian. They're identifying themselves as being Christian. And then the EPA nominee or selection, Scott Pruitt from Oklahoma. And then also the CIA, the nomination for the CIA, Mike Pompeo, who I believe attends Eastminster Presbyterian Church. Now, quite a change, somebody who identifies himself as Christian, or at least espouses the Judeo-Christian viewpoint, replacing, as I said, the current CIA chief, Brennan, who is a Muslim. And then, of course, the ambassador to the UN that Donald Trump has selected, Nikki Haley, also identifies as a Christian. And one more we could add to that list, of course, is the former governor of Texas, Perry, who is being selected to head up the Energy Department. And Perry, of course, is, I believe, a Southern Baptist. And then, of course, there's the number of other individuals such as Mike Huckabee, another Southern Baptist who's influential in advising Donald Trump, and a number of others. So this is quite a change from what we've seen the last 8 years. And it's also quite a change from what we would have expected to see had Hillary Clinton won the nomination. So pray for Donald Trump and Mike Pence. The Electoral College meets tomorrow. And it's sad that the same people who mocked and ridiculed Donald Trump, I shouldn't say the same people, some of the same people who mocked and ridiculed Donald Trump for saying that when he was asked if he would abide by the vote in November, if he lost, would he be willing to concede and congratulate Hillary Clinton, basically is what they were talking about. And he said, well, I have to wait and see how the election goes. And he was mocked and ridiculed over that. And some of those same people are now behind this effort to completely derail the Electoral College tomorrow. And they've stepped up security for it. The various people who are electors, there are two electors per state, as well as one for every congressional district. And that's how some states get 16, some get 20, some get 5, you know, things like some get 3. Every state gets a minimum of 2. And so pray for that. And just real briefly, a lot of people misunderstand the purpose of the Electoral College and our election for president in general. And I just try to remind people, if you think about it this way, when we elect the president, he's the president of the United States. Most people forget that we are not a true democracy. I said that to somebody one time, and there was this lady and her daughter that were sitting over there, and they looked at us looked at me like I was crazy. They couldn't imagine that I said something like that. But it's true. We are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic, and there's a world of difference there. And a part of what we are is also a federation of sovereign states. Each state or commonwealth that makes up the United States is an individual state in its own, or an individual entity in its own right. And you have to remember that the president of the United States, or I'm sorry, that the federal government, let me go back here a little bit, the federal government is a construct of the states. The states are not a construct of the federal government. By that, I mean that the states do not exist because of the federal government. The federal government exists because of the states. And the federal government, in a sense, is a cooperative venture of the sovereign states, and some states like Pennsylvania are actually commonwealths, and they come together and they elect a president of the states, the United States. And so when you voted in November, what you really did, a lot of people don't understand this, you voted to tell your state who you wanted your state to vote for president. And an easy way to think about this is when you voted in the primaries last spring, if you voted in the Republican primary, what you were doing was telling the Republican Party who you wanted them to run for president. And so now, in November, you voted to tell your state who you wanted your state to vote for. And that's why when somebody wins the state of New Hampshire, they get electoral votes, and so New Hampshire then goes to the Electoral College and expresses the will of the people of New Hampshire. And you say, well, why don't we just use the popular vote of the country? Well, it's very simple. Popular vote of the country was all that was used to elect the president. New Hampshire would have zero voice in the election. Nobody would care what New Hampshire thought. Nobody would care what Iowa thought. Nobody would care what Hawaii or Alaska or North Dakota or Wyoming or New Mexico or Arizona or nearly the entire bulk of the states would think, other than California and New York, and then to a lesser degree, Texas, Florida, Ohio, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Michigan maybe. But the rest of the states, nobody would care. And so the genius of the system that we live under in a constitutional republic is that here in Ohio, we voted and Donald Trump won the state of Ohio. And so the voters of Ohio told our electors, we want you to vote for Donald Trump. Same thing happened in Florida. He won the state of Florida, and so the voters in Florida said, we want Florida to vote for Donald Trump. And so tomorrow, the representatives of the states are coming together to voice the will of each individual state. And so little states like South Dakota and Iowa and Alabama and Mississippi, they're going to have a chance to let their voice be heard in who they want to be president. And that is so that the large cities of this country cannot completely overrule, or the large urban centers cannot completely overrule the rural portions of this country. And it assures that people running for office have to take into the consideration the values and the concerns and what issues are important to people in Iowa and Oklahoma, in addition to New York and California. And quite frankly, that's why we have Donald Trump, who has racked up enough electors to win the Electoral College vote tomorrow, that is reflecting the will and the desire of Christians in this country, because he won enough states that our voice can be heard in this election. And I thank God for that. And if you're a Christian, you ought to thank God for that too. Because otherwise, if he just had to go to essentially New York and California, believe me, the voice of the Christians would not matter one whit in this election. Well, stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. We'll be with you till midnight, so stay with us.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. But now, let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us, and I hope you'll give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Our toll-free line is open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And before we get to our telephone lines, just want to remind you that we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And it's the home of the homemade pizza there, and it is homemade. It's his own recipe. And you can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, even if you're not in the northeastern Ohio area and not able to enjoy their pizzas there, if you're interested in opening your own pizza shop or maybe adding pizza to an existing restaurant that you have and you're looking for a great pizza recipe, why don't you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe. It's a great pizza, and it's my favorite pizza, and I managed to get there about once a week or so. Didn't get there last week because of the weather. It was just too bad, but at any rate, you'll enjoy it. That's East Coast Pizza, Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. All right, well, we're going to get back to our program here again this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We've got Tom calling all the way from St. Petersburg, Florida tonight. Tom, welcome to the program.
Pastor Al, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
The weather is pretty warm down here.
What's the temperature?
Well, I promised that I wouldn't tell you that we were over 80 degrees today, so I'm not going to tell you that. Okay. Actually, that's even unusual for us. Usually, by now, we're a little more cool than that, but wow, it was such a pleasant day today.
Well, on the Kelvin scale, we're over 80 degrees as well, so
not by much. I wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Merry Christmas.
Really do appreciate your program this evening. Last night I went to a particular church's Christmas celebration. It was their adult and youth choir. And, you know, it was just such a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got out of that was from Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And, you know, you had mentioned today that next week you're going to have a candlelight service. I was just thinking of all of the wonderful events that will be happening in churches over this next week that express the peace of God and just how important and strong the peace of God is. And I'm just so thankful, you know, to be a part of that and to be in that. And I wanted to express that to you.
And that is nice. I appreciate that. And that's a good thought. And when you think about it and you think about, you know, what we're talking about when we celebrate Christmas, remember, part of the thing was the prophet Isaiah, when he was recording about the birth of Christ, he said his name would be called Emmanuel, which literally meant God is with us, you know, God with us. And, you know, when you think about that, that's exactly what we're celebrating, isn't it? The fact that that God is now with us. He's not some remote location, unreachable, but he's at hand. He's with us. And that's a tremendous thing.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to express that, wanted to wish you a wonderful Merry Christmas, and I'm thankful that next Sunday you and your wonderful church will be having your candlelight service. So God bless you, and we'll look forward to listening to you next Sunday.
Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate that, and Merry Christmas to you and all of your friends down there in St. Petersburg. We appreciate your listening, and more importantly, we appreciate your prayers. And
thank you, sir.
An encouragement. And don't get chilled when you go out into that weather either.
So. Okay, I won't do that.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, you take care. Have a great night. God bless. Yeah, 80 plus in St. Petersburg. And let me see, how many degrees more would that be than what we had? It was 16 when I walked in. So it's a bunch. It's warmer. It's a lot warmer. but, you know, that's what a lot of people don't realize it, but that's what keeps the wind moving around and keeps the air circulating from the tropics to the polar regions. It heats up in the tropics, drifts up to the north, circulates around back to the south, and it gets to the north, it cools, drops out, circulates that back down to the south. And that's really kind of interesting when you think about it, because that's exactly what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 6. He said, "The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north, it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits." And really, our caller from St. Petersburg talking about being 80 plus degrees there right now, if you think about that, this is a tremendous thing, because, you know, the polar regions would be much hotter if it weren't for this fact, and the tropical regions would be much hotter if it weren't for this fact. But as the air rises and most of the oxygen that we get in the atmosphere that we use, that we breathe, actually comes from the tropical zones of the earth. Not only the rainforests across the tropical zone, but even more importantly, the tropical waters of the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, the Indian Ocean and all that, the phytoplankton that are there produce tremendous amounts of oxygen. And as that air warms, it rises up. And then that air, just like the Bible says, it turns about unto the north. Now, what it's doing is it's rising up, and then it moves towards the polar regions, whether North Pole or South Pole. And then as it reaches those regions, of course, it begins cooling, and it sinks back down. And that's where Ecclesiastes, "The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north." So as it sinks down, that oxygen-rich air is being transported into the polar regions, where you don't have too many plants to produce oxygen. You ever wonder how the Eskimos get enough oxygen, the polar bears get enough oxygen, or in the South Pole, how the penguins get enough oxygen? Well, that's the pumping mechanism, and it's all a part of God's design. And so as that happens, the air moves, takes that oxygen-rich air down to the polar regions, or up to the polar regions, north and south, and then the air cools, and then it comes back across the lower levels of the atmosphere, back down towards the tropics, and it moves things around, keeps the air from stagnating. Of course, it produces the wind and stuff that we have, but just like the Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 6, "The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north, it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits." And a lot of tremendous things that we can see in the Bible. In fact, the very next verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 7 says, "All the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again." And that's a perfect description of the water cycle, because not only is the air drifting up and rising and then moving to the polar regions and then sinking and then coming back down and heading back towards the tropical regions, what happens is that warm air absorbs moisture. And that warm air absorbs moisture from the oceans, from the lakes, from the seas and things. And it takes that moisture-rich, warm air, and it carries it up into the polar regions. It carries it into the continental areas, and then the moisture comes out of the air. And for those in northeastern Ohio, we're well aware of the term lake effect snow, and you can see that. Or in some other areas, like if you're out in Washington State or Oregon, Northern California, but in thinking of Washington State and Oregon in particular, where you look at the western side of the state, on the western side of the mountains, it's essentially a temperate rainforest. It's very wet because that moisture-rich air comes off from the Pacific Ocean and it hits those mountains and it acts like a sponge. It squeezes the rain out, and then when you go across the mountains, you get into some semi-arid areas immediately to the east after the air has all the water wrung out of it. And it's the same principle. We see the lake effect snow showers here in the Great Lakes region, because the air comes across the lakes before they freeze in the wintertime, and they absorb moisture from the lakes, and that moist air comes inland, and it hits the higher elevations. And as it hits the higher elevation, the air is squeezed, and it's like squeezing a sponge, and it comes out, and only instead of rain, it comes out as snow. And it piles up all over the place, and we've got to shovel it and move around it and slip and slide in it. But it's a case of the water that was on the land that collected and melted, of course, or rained, and it flowed down into the rivers, and it flows from the rivers into the sea, but the sea's not full because it evaporates, and unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. And there goes the moisture rich air inland, and it drops its moisture, and it flows through the rivers back to the sea again. And it's an amazing recycling process that it really does purify the water doing that. And it also cleans out the air a little bit. You know, the first you get a good shower and it washes some of the dust and things out of the air sometimes. So, but at any rate, it's a tremendous way. The air circulates, the water circulates, and all these things that it's part of God's creation. That's why Psalm 19 says, not only do the heavens declare the glory of God, but also the firmament shows his handiwork. And it's amazing when you look at that. And I was talking with somebody after church, I believe it was today, and talking about how he thought at one point it would have been nice maybe to have been a meteorologist and study the weather. And I thought, I could have got into that myself. That would have been kind of enjoyable. But at any rate, just want to share a couple things. I thought about that while we were talking about that. As we continue on, I haven't given out those phone numbers there, talking about a few things, but a reminder, if you've got a question for us or a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. You can call us at toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just a number of things that are happening around us here. Let's see. I was going to mention the heartbeat bill in Ohio. We had talked about that a little bit last week. And there were two bills that restrict abortions in Ohio passed in the legislature and went to Governor Kasich's desk, and mentioned these because similar bills are going through the legislature and a legislative process in other states. Some states have passed similar bills, but one had to do with fetal pain, and that was passed and reached the governor's desk, and he signed it, and that was an answer to prayer. Now, what that does is essentially, at least in the state of Ohio, abortions could not take place after, I believe, about 24 weeks. And the fetal pain bill basically says that when they believe that the unborn child can feel and respond to pain, no more abortion can take place, essentially. And so that's about 20 weeks. So that that effectively moves back abortion, restricts it to no abortions after 20 weeks. Now, that right there will save a number of the lives of unborn children, and that's a good thing. And we certainly praise God that that was passed. Praise God that the governor signed it. Well, the other one was the what was called the heartbeat bill, and it actually was passed as an amendment to another bill dealing with reporting and things, I believe, of child abuse and neglect. And they tacked that on a legislative session, passed it, and it went to the governor's desk, and I believe he used a line item veto to throw that out. Now, that would have brought the week or the time of an abortion back to about 6 weeks, I believe it was, the time at which you can detect the heartbeat of the developing child. And that would have effectively ended most abortions because, in actuality, oftentimes there are women who are pregnant and they don't know that they're pregnant until 6 weeks or later sometimes. And so that that could have had the potential for ending much of abortion in the state of Ohio. Now, the governor line item vetoed that one out. It would appear to be dead. However, there is a movement in Ohio, people trying to convince the legislature to override the governor's veto on that particular item. And there were some good people on both sides of the issue, or I'm sorry, good people in the right to life issue that were on either both sides of the heartbeat bill. And some right to life groups, for instance, were not supportive of the heartbeat bill. You would think on the face of it, why would they not support it? But their reason, I think, was more from a pragmatic logistics point of view. They didn't believe it would hold up to government or to judicial review, and so it would be a waste of time and resources and make it difficult to pass other laws. You know, that it passed, and so I would have been content. I was glad that it passed. I would like to have seen it go, and until the time that it was, if indeed it was overturned by the courts, during that time, at least you would save the lives of some of the unborn children. And that brings me to something that I had encountered, and I don't know if any of you listening have ever encountered this when looking at the pro-life landscape. There's a group out there, I don't know how prominent they are, how widespread they are, but they call themselves abolitionists. And basically, they're the all-or-nothing group. They think that if somebody works like a number of Ohio pro-life groups work diligently to get this fetal pain bill passed, and it's a tremendous success to the pro-life movement in Ohio to bring the abortions back from 24 weeks now to 20 weeks as a result of this, saving the lives of who knows how many babies, and same sort of thing going on in other states. But the abolitionist type groups, they would look at all the people that tried to pass this bill and say, you know what, you're really not pro-life because you pushed a bill that allows for abortions at 20 weeks. And like I said, they're an all-or-nothing sort of a group. And basically, they believe that if you're not fighting for a bill that eliminates abortion entirely, then no matter what you say, you're actually for abortion. And I disagree with that because I recognize that in our current political climate, in our current social situation, yes, we would like to see all abortion eliminated because it is the ending of a human life. It's a distinct human being. It's alive. It's alive at the moment of conception. At the moment of conception, they've even shown that there's a bright light display. Lights flash across the surface of the newly fertilized egg, and a number of amazing things begin to take place immediately. A completely unique set of 23 pairs of chromosomes containing over 3.1 billion letters in a unique combination, coding for a unique individual, distinctly genetically different from the father, genetically different from the mother. And that new human life, it's human, it's not non-human, it's alive, or there would be no need for an abortion, and it's there, and it's growing. It's just at a different state of growth and development than what you or I are, and it is very vulnerable, and it has no voice, and our responsibility is to speak out for those who have no voice, those who are unable to defend themselves. But the abolitionist group would not see it as a success that by pushing back the limit on abortions from 24 weeks to 20 weeks, you're saving lives of these unborn children. You're preventing abortions. They would rather let abortions go full steam until such time as they could get a bill that bans it 100% passed. And I was explaining that to somebody at church one time, and we came up with some various analogies. So in other words, if you cannot sit down to your meal, like let's say you're going to have a big meal for Christmas, if you cannot inhale your entire meal in one bite, well, you might as well not waste the time eating it, because if you're only eating one bite at a time, well, what good is it? You know, and you can look at that with all kinds of things. If you're only doing part of it at one time, well, you might as well not do any of it. No, we're making steps, and it may be baby steps sometimes, but every week that you can push back on abortion is lives that are saved. And it's also an education type thing. We've reached a point in this country where the majority of opinion is that abortion is killing a living human being. That's the majority opinion in this country, not just in people my age, but also in younger age groups. And that's why abortions, in addition to bills like this that have reduced it back from 24 to 20, are saving lives. But also fewer people are going for abortions. And as a consequence, people are becoming more apt to endorse, to advocate for, to vote for bills that push back the abortion industry. And it's progress. And so if you're only going to save some, or I guess I should say, if the choice is between saving some and saving none, I'm going to go with saving some. You know, I could look at it and say, well, why should I bother giving a message at church? Because if not everybody is going to be changed, and not everybody that's unsaved is going to get saved because of the message, well, then it's a waste of time to do that. We might as well just close the church up. If I can't reach everybody in my community with the gospel and see everybody in my community gets saved with one message, well, then what's the point? No, we're there, even though we're a small church, because we reach some. We do this radio program. Not everybody that reaches this radio program is going to reach out and embrace Christ as their Savior. So you could say, well, what's the point? It's a waste of time. If you can't convert everybody, then why bother? It's a waste of time. No, we can reach some. We can encourage somebody. If we can point somebody to Christ, we consider that something that we're doing that's making a difference in the lives of at least some people. Oh, we'd love to reach everybody if we could, but even Jesus didn't. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm certainly not going to say that his death on the cross was a waste because he doesn't reach everybody at one time and misses some. Well, you can trust Christ as your Savior. I hope you do so, but keep listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Hi, this is Sean Petter with Liberty Addiction Recovery. You know, temptation can be one of life's greatest struggles. It can lead you into a life of guilt, depression, and even addiction. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You see, God will not leave you stranded in your addictions. And if you or anyone you know is struggling with an addiction, please feel free to join us every Friday night at 7 p.m. for Liberty Addiction Recovery. Remember, God has made a way of escape, and we'd be happy to help you find it. For more information, please go to www.libertyvalleychurch.org/addiction or give us a call at 330-554-7606.
WHKW Cleveland, WHKZ Warren, bringing the word to Northern Ohio, a service of Salem Media Group.